Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Trevor Sikkema of PFF, the lead NFL draft analyst, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Trevor, welcome to the show, buddy.
Well, don't say that I'm not going to do it again. You got to get people to keep listening. You know, they don't know whether or not I'm going to do it again on the show. But I appreciate you guys having me back after a little, you know, colorful language for me last time.
Trevor, they know you're a wild card.
Yeah,
they know anything can come out of your mouth there.
This is true. That's why you guys have me on, I'm sure. Not for my draft analysis, but for the entertainment ratings.
So how different are you now that you're married? Because you weren't married the last time we talked to you.
Congrats.
Thank you. Much wiser, you know? I just so much wisdom and everything going. Now, it's been like a month, but life is good. Married life is good, fellas. I highly recommend it.
Did you get drunk on your wedding night? I stayed relatively sober, and it's one of the regrets of my life.
No, I did not get super carried away on my wedding night. Now the rest of the weekend, I feel like I loosened up a little bit, but there's a lot of things going on. You know, it's like you got to kind of be coherent to make sure that you're, you know, dealing with things, you know, talking to the wedding planner. Obviously you don't want to do anything dumb while you're there. You're talking to guests, everything. So I didn't want to get too carried away my wedding night, but on the nights around that, especially the night after that, we had a good time.
Very proud of you there. All right, so let's get to the Browns post-draft here. Would you consider the Browns roster one of the three worst rosters in the NFL?
I don't know the other rosters off the top of my head, but obviously it's a team that's, you know, in a rebuild mode right now, right? I mean, like the owners said that as much. Once you admit that the Deshaun Watson move was a failure and then it's time to move on, well, all of a sudden, like, you know, you're having to turn things around. And I think that that's the catalyst for moving off of number two. Now, I think that what the Browns did here, it was obviously a long-term play draft. And so sometimes you have draft hauls that aren't as fair to judge in the moment. And I'm kind of harsh on the Browns draft because – yeah, I didn't really understand the logic of the way they went about the quarterback position. I don't like the fact that they moved on from drafting Travis Hunter, who if I had to bet on one of these guys in this draft being generational, I would have bet on Travis Hunter being that player. Even though I like Mason Graham, I like that they got a future first. It was just it's a tough draft to sort of have a final opinion on right now. Even though there are things that I like, some things that I didn't, it is one of those drafts that you kind of just have to wait and see because of the types of bets that they made.
Now, Trevor, historically, you were a person that Nick always went to when we get in a Shador Sanders argument, and he'd be like, Sikkema says he sucks. And I'm like, okay, well, that answers that then. And PFF, I told you about your tools and what happens with your mock drafts, that anytime I took Shador, would give me a D or an F. But how'd you feel about the fifth round for Shador? There's a lot of value there. Does that change anything for you?
Yeah, it's so strange, right? Because I remember I was on with you guys last time, and I kind of had to talk about the other side of things of here's why I wouldn't draft Shador Sanders at number two, right? And I had to talk about, like, this is why I would not take him as a first-round quarterback. But all of a sudden, the fifth round, I mean, now we've swung so far in the opposite direction, and now you have to think, okay, well, he didn't fall to the fifth round because of talent. You know, he maybe wasn't a first-round pick because of talent, but clearly the NFL just did not like whatever he was putting down during the draft process, whether it was the interviews, the top 30 visits, like whatever, the Deion Sanders, and obviously the last name, and everything that kind of comes with that, whatever it was, that's the catalyst of why he falls to day three. I think talent-wise, he should have absolutely been picked somewhere on day two. Now he gets to round five, and the weird part about it is for the Browns is they took a quarterback who I have ranked way below Shador Sanders at number 94 in the third round in Dylan Gabriel. So I don't even really know what to think of them drafting both of these quarterbacks, because it's almost like I want to give you credit for drafting Shador in the fifth round just out of pure talent. But now I have to go, well, hold on a second. 50 picks earlier, you picked a quarterback who I think is much less capable to be a starting quarterback at the NFL level. And there, in my opinion, if you're going to take a swing on the first quarterback, you kind of have to judge on who you take first. And so, it's sort of like this. I want to give you credit, but I kind of can't. So it was just it was very strange, Shador lasting as long as he did. But, hey, now he's in Cleveland, and he'll certainly have a chance to be either the preferred backup of this team or maybe even the starting quarterback this upcoming season.
Trevor, should we base our expectations off of where Shador was drafted for him or where maybe the talent says he should have been drafted?
I think that it probably has to be the latter. I really do. You can sort of say, like, oh, well, he's a fifth-round pick. You know, there's nothing to it. But the fact of the matter is he's not going to get treated like a fifth-round pick, right? He is still going to get treated like maybe not when it comes to overall, like, where he is on the pecking order to start training camp, like on the depth chart. I feel like if he would have been picked in the first round, he probably would have been, well, QB2 right now for sure, probably behind Flacco if I'm guessing. And now it's probably a wide open competition. But the fact of the matter is nobody's going to talk about Shador as if he was a fifth round pick, because we had to sit here for 10 months and talk about him as a top five pick. And I think that's just the way that people approach things right now and their thoughts of Shador. So just sort of to more answer your question, I think going into next season, if he would have been picked in the first round, I think he would have been QB2 on the initial depth chart at worst. And now going into training camp, I think the way that this team is going to talk about that room and that situation is they're going to truly say, hey, let the best man win no matter what. So it's going to be a little bit of a different conversation, but I think it's going to be a lot closer to where we regarded him previously to the draft rather than the fifth round where he ended up going.
You said you thought the difference between Shador and Dylan Gabriel, I believe you used the term way, way down relative to where Gabriel was. Tell me what the differences are. Tell me what you see and why you think Shador is that much better of a quarterback than Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, so I had Gabriel ranked as my 164th prospect, and he gets picked 94th. Now, I understand there's a quarterback bump. Anytime a team needs a quarterback, you're going to kind of treat those guys a little bit differently. It's almost hard to put quarterbacks on a normal big board anyways. But that's still a 70-spot jump for me of where I had him versus where he got picked. Shador, on the other hand, I had him ranked 45th on my big board, which I felt like was very low compared to consensus. And he gets picked 144. So it's almost a 100-pick surplus there. So that's where I had those guys ranked on the board. And the reason why I had them so differently is I think Dylan Gabriel plays a very clean game between the 20s. Very clearly, he just understands the game very well. He has that experience, which turns into really good play for him. He's got good ball placement, good accuracy, good decision-making. He knows how to read defenses. The issues just come from lack of physical tools. And I talk about that with Shedeur Sanders as well, but I like Shedeur Sanders' physical tools a lot more than I like Dylan Gabriel's. And when I watch Gabriel, the reason why I was so much lower on him, and I'll be honest, this is a quarterback that I had in my top 100 at one point during the college football season because of how clean of a game of football he played. But when I watched him at the Senior Bowl specifically, there was something that happened on day three that I was really looking forward to seeing. What Dylan Gabriel was going to be in the red zone. Because day three of Senior Bowl practices are always, you get into the red zone work. And red zone is where Dylan Gabriel really struggled in college football. And it's a spot where I expect him to struggle a little bit in the NFL because he doesn't have that arm where he can truly just zip it in there. And space is at such a premium when you were in the red zone, and he just doesn't have those physical tools. So without the ability to truly anticipate and put air under the ball and be more of a touch passer, it was more difficult for him to convert. And then the other thing was, on day three, they were really pressuring Dylan Gabriel to his left, forcing him to roll right as a left-handed quarterback, try to get him to either throw on the run or reset his feet and throw, and it's just difficult for him to do that. If they're seeing that at the Senior Bowl and if they saw that in college football, they're going to see it at the NFL level as well. Shedeur, I at least think, plays that clean brand of football as well, but he's also shown up in some huge moments, and I just genuinely believe he's got a little bit more juice in his arm than Gabriel does. So I think he's a little bit more – I think Gabriel is more limited situationally than Shedeur is. And if you're going to look at two of these players and say, hey, we've got to bet on one of these guys to get better, I tell you that Shedeur has better tools to be able to do that.
Looking to the rest of the draft, what do you think the Browns did well in this draft?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Well, I think that their running back room's awesome now, right? And this was a unit that desperately needed a ground game last season. And getting Quinshaw Judkins in the second round at number 36, I think he is a tone setter for them. He was my RB1 coming into the year from his tape at Ole Miss. I just didn't feel as though he played with that same sort of fiery passion at Ohio State really until they started making a run in the college football playoff. Then he started to turn it on a little bit more. We saw more of the Ole Miss version of him. But that version of him is a starting running back in the NFL who could play all three downs, in my opinion. And then Dylan Sampson, I had him ranked 55 in the class, and you get him at 126. I mean, that is excellent value. I even had Dylan Sampson barely ranked above Quinshaw Judkins. So for you to get both of these players as your 1-2 in the backfield, I think that significantly makes the ground game better. And I thought that was a big issue for Cleveland last season. No matter who was playing quarterback for them, they didn't have any sort of a ground game to be able to lean on. So those two guys, fresh legs, young legs, guys who give you extra power, extra juice, really like what they did there. And at the very least, their run game is going to be a lot better this upcoming season.
Is it okay the way the draft fell that they didn't end up taking anything for the offensive line or anything for wide receiver?
I don't love that they didn't take anything on the offensive line. And that also goes into me giving them a lower draft grade overall, is that when I look at this team and when I look at their depth chart, man, this offensive line could look significantly different, not just a year from now, but 2 years from now, right? You're looking at guys who are getting a little bit older, guys who are going to contemplate retirement, guys who are going to hit unrestricted free agency. Like, you're starting five this year. There is a chance, and I don't know if this is the most likely chance, but there's a chance none of the starting five that you have this year will be on your roster in 2 years. That's a reality that this team has. And you watch teams around the league get ahead of offensive line needs as a bit of a luxury. And I just wish Cleveland would have done that more. Again, we're sort of looking at a situation where you draft two quarterbacks, you draft the tight end a little bit earlier than maybe I think that you could have, and you're drafting Carson Schwesinger at the top of the second round, basically as a fringe first round pick. Like, to me, I would have loved offensive line somewhere in there. You know, I can't praise the running back additions and then sit here and say I wish they would have taken a running back instead of Quinshon Judkins or something. So I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite there, because I really do love the running backs that they brought in. But it goes back to taking two QBs. Man, I wish you would have just taken Shador in the third and then tried to take an offensive lineman a little bit later. Or, you know, stick with the quarterback that you drafted in the third and take one a little bit later. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens at that position, but I get nervous. I get nervous for this Cleveland Browns team, looking at that offensive line, how it struggled through some injury last year, how those guys aren't getting any younger, and how they did not get ahead of what could be a massive shift in their offensive line over the next 2 years.
Yeah, I kind of freaked out about the Dylan Gabriel thing, too, with Charles Grant there and Jared Wilson and a couple other nice players there. When it comes to the quarterback room, if you're the Browns, can you give all four quarterbacks a fair chance to win this job? Can you run a clean search with all four guys having a realistic claim to being the starting quarterback for the Browns this year?
I don't think you can, simply because there's only so many training camp reps that you can get for these guys. I think you are going to have a preliminary ranking. Your coaches have to sort of figure it out. And you can make it pretty deep, right? I would say that, you know, you could give a decent amount of snaps to maybe the first three guys, but QB4 is just straight up not going to get as many reps with the ones, and you probably shouldn't, right? And so you can't really go into this thing saying, okay, we have four starting quarterbacks, and each one of them is going to start one of our preseason games here. Or you can't even do that now, right? So I think that we get to this spot where you're just going to have to pick and choose a little bit. You're going to have some preliminary rankings. And you can let, I think you can let QB1 and QB2 sort of fight it out for who might be that starting quarterback in week 1. And then you can sort of let QB2 through QB4 fight it out and see who your preferred backup is going to be. But I don't think there's a way where you can give an even shot to all four of these guys. There's just not going to be enough snaps to go around.
I want to go to Pittsburgh for a second. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't end up signing with the Steelers, does Will Howard end up winning that job, or do you think it'd be Mason Rudolph?
I think that Will Howard wins that job. I really do. I think that Pittsburgh is operating under the assumption that they are going to have Aaron Rodgers on their team, and I think that they went about the draft like that. But Will Howard was my QB4 in this class. Like, I had Cam Ward, I had Shador Sanders, I had Jalen Milroe, and then he was next. Like, he's the guy that I say, okay, at least I'm not going to worry about the overall size, the mass that he has, the ability to make some plays with his legs, and I think he's got a decent NFL arm. So I'm not really worried about the physical ability to play the position at the pro level from Will Howard, and I think it would be a situation where, unless he looks really bad in training camp, I think you go to him and just see what you've got and see how he can grow throughout the year. It would probably be a situation where they say, hey, man, we don't need a ton from you. Just don't blow it, if you will, right? Just like don't make it so we're losing games because of you, but we don't need you to play Superman for us. So I think that he would. I think he would be the quarterback who wins that job.
All right, who starts more games in 2025, Shador Sanders or Will Howard?
I would say Shador Sanders, because I do believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Steelers, and the Steelers are just historically a team that's always in it until the very end, and so I don't really anticipate them going through a quarterback change, whereas even if Shador does not start the season as the starter for this team, we've all seen Joe Flacco over the last couple of years. We've seen Kenny Pickett as well. I think Shador is probably going to get a very fair shot to start some games for them in 2025, whether that's in, you know, week 4, week 8, week 15, or even week 17 and 18 if the season ends up going not the way that they want to.
All right, we're going to put you on the hot seat. Predict the Browns' record this year. Go.
Well, knowing none of their opponents outside of their divisional opponents off the top of my head, I am going to say that this team wins – I'm going to say 7 games.
I think right now it's the fifth hardest strength of schedule as of right now, if that does anything for you.
So maybe want to put it down to like a 5?
Or drop it to 6 now? Whatever.
Yeah, I'd probably drop it to 6. I have a lot of faith in Kevin Stefanski. I think he's a great coach. I really do. So I'd go with 6, final answer there.
All right, I guess. So this is one. We have about 30 seconds. Who is your QB1 in for the 2026 NFL draft heading into this offseason?
I have not watched a single ounce of tape for 2026 yet. But I would tell you Arch Manning, because I actually have seen him play in person. And I think he's got legit NFL tools. I know I'm not breaking any news here. But if he declares next cycle, it will be because he is talked about as a top 5 and even number 1 overall pick. So I'll go with Arch Manning is the easy answer there.
I'm actually going to act like I just heard Drew Aller because he's from Medina, but that's okay. No, seriously, man, thank you so much. Congrats again, and we appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Trevor Sigma there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One of the very nice gentlemen in all of media. Great stuff with him. When we come back, we're going to react to what he had to say about your Cleveland Browns draft and get to the question that we asked him about two rookie quarterbacks heading into the 2025 season in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.